Many real estate agents across Australia confidently refer Property Insurance Plus to their clients as they recognise the price and benefit value of their policy combined with the client-focused service they deliver. They offer a comprehensive building and landlord insurance facility and have formed a powerhouse to present the very best in investment property insurance. Contact PIP today to find out more.
Welcome to the PM Collective, a dynamic hub designed to empower business owners, property managers, and BDMs to excel in their careers. Through access to intimate conversations, cutting-edge video training, mental health support, and unparalleled motivation, our community is the ultimate destination for individuals seeking to elevate their professional lives to new heights. So sit back, relax, and enjoy our next conversation on our weekly podcast, The Art of Property Management. Welcome to the PM Collective podcast. I'm very excited to have our returning guest, James DeJesus, join us. James, thanks for jumping on board.
Hey, Ashley. Thank you for having me again. It's been a while. Good to be back.
Excellent. Now, real quick fun fact, because I find it cool. I pronounce your surname DeJesus. Can you please tell me how it's meant to be pronounced?
So it's meant to be DeJesus. But in Australia and growing up, it's always just been DeJesus. It's easy and everybody can say it.
Absolutely. What nationality is that surname?
Portuguese.
Oh, there you go. Excellent. Well, I never would have even had an attempt at pronouncing it like that, but I thought it was a pretty cool fact for you. So that's why I brought it up. Now, last time we had you on the podcast, you were in your first 12 months in a BDM role. But just remind me, were you the first 12 months just in BDM in general? Like, what were you doing before that? I can't remember.
Before that, I was a property manager. So I was a property manager for a little over a year, probably about 18 months. And then I jumped into the BDM role. Looking for a sales role, actually. But I ended up in BDM and loved it ever since.
Excellent. So when we spoke, you were the first 12 months in the BDM role, and it's now been a couple of years. I remember very specifically what I loved about the chat with you was that you were very, I guess I'd call old school in terms of doing all the right things like letterbox drops and that real sort of traditional BDM method, which I thought was really cool because I was lacking at the time of doing it. And it was just really good as a refresher for me to go, you know what, let's get back to basics and do that. So I'm really curious as to how your BDM role has changed and tweaked now that you're a couple of years into the role. Are there any things that you've been keeping or anything that you have changed and found that was maybe a waste of time and energy?
Look, I think the cold call side, I don't do as much anymore. I still do them, but they're not so cold. They're more what you'd call like a warm kind of call, and then obviously chasing your hot leads. Letterbox drops occasionally, but it's not something we do massively now. I tend to do it as like a quarterly thing, and I kind of pump out my results for the quarter, say along the coast, kind of executive leasing, what we've done, some of our key stats there, as well as when I do the kind of southeastern corridor of Gosnells and things like that. So I guess there's those two big things that I used to do a lot and spend a lot of time doing that I don't do. A lot of it now, a lot of my business and focus is just building relationships with, referral partners, the reps in the business, now working for RealMark, having a lot more reps to work with, really focusing on those relationships and with their clients and buyers, as well as, buyer's agents have been a massive part of my business the last 10 months now. It's just been huge. So really trying to focus on those guys and their clients, whether it be through our office or through other office sales, but those buyer's agents that are buying and really just focusing on that.
And the switch from the traditional letterbox drops, cold calling, etc., have you found that that sort of has been amplified just because the return of those letterbox drops and cold calls just weren't getting you anyway? Like, was it like a decision to work smarter, or that you just didn't see the results from it that changed and shifted your methods?
Yeah, certainly. Look, you get the odd result from those things, but that really is a long game. And I guess it's still a long game in what I'm doing and how I'm processing leads and how I'm treating the client. But just the cold calls and letterbox drops a few and far between. It was more for getting the name out there. Now I think my name's out there a little bit more, a bit more known, and I'm starting to build those relationships from other avenues that I never had the opportunity to when I was brand new to the game.
Yeah, absolutely. So we were just talking about, you know, our predictions and the work as a BDM. Because, you know, specifically in WA, obviously we've got all that investor activity, and we are definitely finding the referral partners and the buyer's agents a big part. But I don't want to be naive to the fact that they're going to be there forever, because they're not. And in terms of, like, have you started thinking about a strategic plan of what to do when that investor market dies off? Because I think, like, I don't know what you think, but I feel a little bit like, not on edge, but definitely I'm, you know, on the ball that this investor market can change at any time. So as a BDM, you know, even personally, financially, we are so used to getting, you know, real good numbers coming through. And I know you're really high performing there, but there could be a point where in 6 months, 12 months, it's going to change and we're going to have to shift again. And that, I guess, makes me a little bit nervous. Like, is that something that you think about?
Yeah, look, I think yeah, definitely can't last forever. It's all great and fun and games right now, and it's you know, crazy busy, and you go, wow, you know, you kind of keep your head above water. But I think, look, my thing is really I'm trying to keep the reputation of myself as well as the business with the local, you know, kind of investors and people in the areas that I work a lot in, to being more your go-to. And I guess that's all through, yes, branding and, you know, your letterbox drops and things like that, but just, you know, keep giving people updates, you know, every kind of quarter, every 6 months, depending on their circumstance, and keeping that constant communication with the communities that I work in so much. I think that's really what I'm trying to do now, while I don't have too much time to really pour into it, but still trying to put some time into that, because this will change one day.
Yeah, and I like that you said that you did change the letterbox drops, for example, down maybe instead of monthly or fortnightly, you've changed that to quarterly. So you're still doing it, but yeah, you've just reduced the amount and put your focus where the money is at the moment, which is, like I said, the referring agents. How long do you reckon we've got in WA for the investor market? Do you have any, like, thoughts of that?
To be honest, look, I'm not 100% sure, but from what I'm seeing and the growth in some areas that, say, in the end, I saw the buyer's agents buying a lot in, they're now pushing out of those areas a little bit, because now the, you know, your $400,000, mid $400,000 kind of property is now looking at, you know, 5,520, 550, and it's like all in the space of kind of like a year. So, look, I think personally, I think when the building game gets a little bit better in Perth, and, you know, you kind of can build houses back in your 6, 9 months, 12 months max mark, I think might pull back a bit. But in all honesty, I don't know. How about you? What are your thoughts?
I agree. I think when the building industry improves, we'll see a better market, because we'll see more tenants able to, like, build a home and get into their own home and things like that, which I'd really love to see, because, you know, like, it's a double-ended sword. Like, we have not enough stock, but not enough rental stock for tenants. But on the other end, if we can reduce the amount of tenants that are needing homes by getting them to build, then that's going to help the situation as well. But I am noticing a little change in investor activity, that some are getting a little bit frustrated at the Perth market and just going, you know what, I can't be bothered. It's moving too quickly. I'm not getting a bargain. So I'm definitely seeing people look outside of Perth. But I don't know, migration levels just seem to be so high at the moment. I am not seeing any light at the end of the tunnel for tenants, unfortunately. And the building industry, I think we're still a way off, but I'd love to say that we've only got 6 months left of it. But
yeah, I'm with you on that. I think, yeah, the building game is still a while off, I think, what I'm seeing and hearing from people in the game. You know, you've got some builders that are obviously doing it pretty well at the moment and a lot quicker than they used to be even. But I think the majority that took on a lot of the work is still got a bit of a way to catch up, and it's going to be like this with migration and everything. That's just, another level, I think, from what it used to be. It's a whole other level. And unfortunately, for the tenants, it's going to be tough for a little bit. But, you know, I think there is light at the end of the tunnel. It will calm down. But when that is, I think maybe another 12 months.
Yeah, I think so. Well, at least another 12 months to have a clear idea of, like, you know what, this will only last for, you know, 3 more months, 6 more months, 12 more months.
Yeah.
The couple of questions for you is, at the moment, working very much online, are you doing a lot of in-person managements, or are you doing everything online at the moment?
Look, I do. So north of the river, in my coastal corridor, a lot of it is in person. I find a lot of that I always like to get in person if I can, at least on a Zoom, something to put a face to the name and kind of build some sort of rapport. But I am finding, and that's actually interesting to ask, because I wanted to ask you about that as well, was, yeah, I find anything, a lot of obviously the interstate investors, basically all they kind of want is, what are your fees? You know, how much can you get for me, and how what's my vacancy going to be? Because I want no vacancy, you know? So it's hard to, I'm finding it, I do a lot of that stuff online. It's hard to build that rapport or any sort of relationship with these guys because they just don't want to give you the time of the day. And I try and get on a Zoom, and a lot of them don't want to get on a Zoom either. So that's what I'm finding. But I guess, yeah, what are you finding as well?
Well, I guess it depends on where the source is coming from. And so if they're finding you through social media, they're finding you through Google, I would think that RealMark have got a pretty good SEO. So, they could be finding you through that. And I don't know whether you listen to Jason Hull from the Door Show Grow, something like that. He's in America. Do you listen to his podcast?
No, I haven't. No, I might have to check it out.
Yeah, he talks about, like, where the leads come from and how likely that landlord is to be, you know, very fee-driven. And he's actually found that the people that want to negotiate with the fees the most are the ones that come through, like, your SEO and through your Google search. So because they're shoppers, like, they're just getting on doing property management perf and finding you there, which totally makes sense. And so I guess for me, like, don't get me wrong, people do ask, but I don't think I feel like sometimes they just need a little bit of a win with a very small fee.
That
pacifies them. But because because they come through a referral network, whether it's buyer's agent or other existing clients, it's less of a problem for me because they're not shopping for me because of the SEO. They're shopping for that referral. So I would probably say, like, it's a really good thing for people who are listening just to have a little think about where that lead is coming from. So, and I guess, you know, at the end of the day, everyone's got a different business plan. I'm not going to be here sitting saying don't negotiate, because there's sometimes you will negotiate and there's reasons why you would. And so, and it depends on where you are in your business as well. But I don't find it as a massive problem for me. And I think what the mindset, and maybe this is an arrogant side of me, thinks that if you don't come with me, like if you don't bring your business over because I'm being set on my fees, then it's not a no forever, because I know that you can go to someone maybe cheaper fees. And I'm not actually even saying that cheap fees means cheap service, because I actually don't believe that either. But quite often I'm seeing a lot of business coming back to us from other agents. And I don't know if you're seeing a bit of
news. Yeah, I've had a few recently, real recently, that, yeah, it's like I call them a couple of weeks later and they're like, oh, still haven't got an MA yet or anything. And I'm like, well, the option's still there, you know. But I think, yeah, you're right, though, in terms of where your lead source comes from. Like my buyer's agents, referrals through obviously the sales team and a lot of other things, I'm not getting too much pushback. It's the guys that find me on through the SEO that they're going, hey, you know, kind of send us your fee. Where, yeah, the buyer's agents and referral networks, they're coming to you because they've been referred to you. So the fee negotiation might be a tiny win or nothing.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that that's just something for, like, people to be mindful of. And if they are coming to you from the SEO and asking, you know, to negotiate, like, I couldn't care less whether they came with me or not, because, you know what, I've still got your name and your email address and your number.
Yeah.
It's still going in my database, and I'll speak to you again in 12 months. So I feel like it's like a win-win, because you definitely don't want to not get those leads from Google, because but they're just like your future leads, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're not now ones, but you'll get them in the down track.
No, I agree. It's then they just get in the pipeline, and you slowly over time. Yeah, you need that sort of business too, though.
Yeah, referring, and I'm not asking you to delve your secrets or anything like that, but just because I think people find it interesting, with your referral networks and your buyer's agents, have you found that they have organically come to you, or have you found that you've actually sourced them and put in that sort of, I guess, the hard yards of finding them and starting that relationship?
A couple I have had to work a bit harder to kind of, I guess, build that relationship. And then a couple I've been referred to through a few of the sales reps. That's helped. So I just get my foot in the door, and then I've nurtured and kind of built that relationship with them since I've been at Realmark, which has been really, really good. So I'm not just getting the leads from the reps, I'm getting them from other agents that they're buying the property and doing all the walkthroughs and all, you know, that kind of fun stuff, pre-settlement and pre-purchase. But I love it. It's, to me, that's kind of the fun of the game, you know, seeing different things and what's out there.
And it certainly helps having like an award-winning team and like the likes of Shane Beaumont and all that in your team, because there's, you
definitely
know, he's seeing and getting hit up by so many investors right now. Like, he would be such a source for a database.
Yeah, look, it is really good, and I'm blessed that I have that around me to kind of, I guess, yeah, work in my way, and yeah, what can I say? I am blessed and I appreciate it. It's been amazing.
Yeah, excellent. And is there anything that you have done specifically in the last 2 years that you have got better at doing since last time we spoke? Like, where has your personal development and all of that improved, do you reckon?
Good question.
You might not even be able to answer. I'm throwing
now. Just got to take a step back from the to have a think. I think the way I deal with people, I think I've always been a bit of a people's person, but the way that I deal with different personalities and you know, I guess different conflicts, different questions, the way I handle people really has been got a lot better. And even handling myself, I think, like, I'm very high energy, I'm very fast, I guess. I won the award for speed at, you know, the Realmark thing. It was like, because I'm very quick and on the ball all the time, but not everyone's like that. And for me, I think that's really been a big win for me, is learning how to deal with different cultures, different type of people and their personalities, and adjusting myself. I'm not perfect, and I still sometimes go in and go, oh my God, James, you're way too much, man. Like, calm down. But learning that has been a massive part, yeah, for me, I've found, especially in the higher end stuff. The higher end rentals, you get a bit of a different demographic. And I find just, yeah, working with them, I've learned how to handle them and what they want, what they look for. And yeah, that's been amazing.
And you'll probably agree that buyer's agents, as wonderful as they are, and there's some amazing ones, there's also some really difficult buyer's agents out there. So really accepting their special requests. I don't know whether you get special requests from these buyer's agents, but yeah, that's hard.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you always get the odd ones, but overall they're pretty good.
They're all pretty good, yeah. Now, in terms of your like future, again, you know, strategic planning, don't need to give away your secrets or anything like that, but do you have anything in the pipeline that you are like, you know what, that's next for me, I'm going to get this done or that done, or like, what's, do you have a strategy for the next 6 months with what you're going to plan to achieve?
Look, I guess for me, I don't have anything kind of set in stone, to be honest, but I really want to get my social game better. That's a massive part for me. I've got such a bit of a, like, I guess, a clientele interstate and things like that. And even locally now, being with the team, I really want to up that side of my game. That's massive. And then building the team like around me is getting a bit more support to be able to take it to the next level. On my own, there's only so much I can do. So really building that team to keep growing is what my next plan will be next year.
Yeah, in terms of like a team, like a VA or an assistant.
Yeah, in terms of, yeah. So I got like a leasing agent who's a gem and is awesome at what she's doing. But yeah, having someone that can do more of my admin, help with my admin stuff, even with, you know, some prospecting kind of side of things, but be like another BDM, another mini James that helps me out, and we run around together and yeah, try and take this thing to the next level.
Because you're covering all Perth at the moment, aren't you? You're not doing just like north or south.
Yeah, the whole lot. Yeah. So all up the coast, down, you know, yeah, kind of Gosnells, Armidale, Treby ways. So yeah, I'm stretched at the moment a little bit, but yeah, I make it work.
It's interesting. Like, how do you know as a BDM when you're ready to bring on that next person? Because I've had this discussion with our BDM and I'm like, you need to tell me when you're ready for me to get you some support or somebody else in, because from a BDM point of view, where you may or may not, and this is just in general for people listening, you may or may not be receiving a commission for each listing comes through, to bring someone in to potentially do north of the river or south of the river or different areas, you're ultimately, going to lose some of your commission, if I'm going to be completely honest. And so I'll answer it so you don't have to, because, I don't want to put you in an awkward position, but I found that with our BDM, she's like, oh no, I'm going to keep on going. I'll tell you when I need the help. So I guess it's really important as a BDM to recognize where your limit is, because I want to make sure, and that BDMs out there, don't push until, then you end up doing 60 hours a week, because it's really hard to let go of, and someone that you're sort of sharing the role with. I mean, that's just like me sort of honestly speaking.
Yeah, look, I agree. I think because what happens is I think you get to a point that your service starts to lack. Something has to give. Yeah. So whatever it is, but something has to give. And I think, I'm kind of like, about to, I guess I've always said kind of I got my limit. And when I hit that number consistently, for through a quarter or 6 months, then I want to look at, right, well, I need somebody here to, and yes, I think I might take a bit of a hit for, 3 months, say, but hopefully that's going to help me then help us as a team get to the next level. So taking that minor sacrifice to take it to the next level is, I think you have to do at some point.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Today's wonderful sponsor is Property Assist WA. Shannon and her team are really committed to assisting property managers' workload by assisting them with outsourcing services like routine inspections, final bond inspections, and property condition reports. Keep your property managers doing what they love and outsource the things they don't to a company that thrives on positive feedback and guarantees a premium personalised service with a smile. The vision of Property Assist WA is to make a difference to the quality and perception of property managers, enabling you to keep your clients happy whilst improving the efficiency of your staff.
It's no different to a sales rep, Nick, bringing on a PA. Is it like it's exactly the same? And, where in that situation, they might share a commission or whatever, but it does help you get to that next spot. I think that we're sort of starting to introduce a couple of tasks to a VA, but it's hard because, managing authorities are different, fee schedules can sometimes be different, and it's sort of like, actually, we found that a little bit hard to intro, but we're going to probably keep trying that for the next sort of 6 months and get that support. I recently, well, actually not recently now, about 5 months ago, actually found my own VA. I'd rather call her a PA because that's what she more is, because I just needed a double me. I just needed someone just to help me just with all the not crappy stuff, but just like the social media and the connecting and the engaging and the posts. And every time I have like a random idea, just texting someone and saying, hey, can you schedule this into socials? Or like when you're on the road so much, having someone just to quickly do that rental appraisal for you, or adding someone to a database, just stuff like that. Because what I found was that when I was out on the road, I would have then a whole long list of things I had to do when I got back in the office. So I was trying to eliminate that, because then sometimes I forgot. So I got my own PA directly. I pay personally, like not through the business or anything like that. And she helps me hugely. And I have to say, like for me, it's worked really, really well, even if it's just to help with your social. So like I do all my, like I still create all my own content, but sometimes just being able to message someone, say, hey, can you schedule this in there? It's just so much easier and has really cleared my mind and, my brain space to not have that constant to-do list and, I need to post again, I need to do this, I need to do that. Not sure, because one thing I have noticed really great with you is I have been noticing your social media and you have been posting, I've seen the properties and all of that that you've been posting. So it's definitely coming up and I'm seeing it. So that having some support with those random photos of you and videos, I don't know
if
you're videos or not, but just flicking that to someone. But you might even have a marketing person in your office that can do that. I don't know. But
I agree with you big time. When you're on the road and you've got all, then you're getting calls, bombarded to you, you've got all these things going on, and you're, it's not like you're on the road all day. Like, you get home and it's like, okay, right, now I've got to do my whole to-do list, you know, and it's like, wow, okay. I feel you 100% on that.
Have you heard of an app called Brain Toss?
No.
Okay. No. Brain Toss is the tip for today's podcast.
Okay.
And you literally, while you're like on the road or whatever it is, you just like press the app and you just can like voice dictaphone, or you can take a photo of something. But it's so simple that the minute you just voice record or take a photo of something, it automatically emails you.
Oh, wow.
It's really cool. So I would recommend that, because then if you have got someone to help, with your emails or anything like that, you can then just flick that onto them real quickly to help with that admin support and keep your mind a little bit clearer. So that's a good app to have a look at.
Oh, I'll check it out. I might have to get it. definitely. It'll help. Anything to help.
Yes, a question for you, because mine's interesting and I love it. Your BDM to property manager process, what does that currently look like now for you?
So I do the appraisal, the management authority, all the advertising, marketing side of things, get it on the internet. Once it's on the internet, I then have my leasing agent who comes into the picture, and she takes over the leasing side of things, from home opens and all of that, owner updates, all that kind of stuff. I'm still there. I normally check in once a week as well, just to say hello and see how things are tracking, make sure they're all happy. Once the property is leased, so she does the whole leasing. Once it's leased, it then goes to the property manager. I organize all the ID side of things, your certificate of titles, building insurances, landlord insurance, BMT, like tax depreciation kind of stuff, or asset reports, say. So I do all of that. We do like a compliance check, which my leasing agent organizes. And then that way the PM, it's meant to be, the PM doesn't have to do much other than just intro to the tenant, intro to the owner, and off they go.
Yeah, and that's working well.
Yeah, look, it's been pretty good. I'm a bit horrible with paperwork sometimes. Yeah, making sure I've got everything in check. I want to get the deal done, get it on the net, get everything nice and get it leased. So look, I'm not amazing with that. I've never have been. But yeah, other than that, it's working well.
Yeah, excellent. So we've talked about the predictions. What's next for you? You've got your personal goals. And so over the next 12 months, you would like to see maybe an extra, the team being built a little bit, another person on the team. Who is doing, do you get a lot of like renovations and project management?
I do a little bit. To be honest, I try not to do too much of those big ones. Like, I'll certainly help out, you know, get a house painted, new flooring, little things like that. But when it comes to kitchens or bathrooms, I tend to try and steer clear if I can. I'm all for wanting to help, but it just takes up a lot of my time. If I have to go and do project management type of stuff, and I don't charge for that.
How do you have that conversation with the owner? Like, when they say, hey, can you organize like some quotes for a bathroom reno or kitchen reno? What does your conversation look like?
Well, look, I'll normally get a quote, but I'll let them do all the picking and all the colours and all the whatever they want to do there. And I'll get them in touch with the contractor once the quote's been done to explain and go through all of that. I tend to not have those conversations. I'll kind of just look, I'm happy to help and pass you on to some contractors that I have that I work with a lot that can certainly help. I'll organise access. I'll organise that type of stuff. Once they get the quote, then I'll get them in touch with you and you guys can have discussion, and then I can facilitate the access, which is quite easy.
Yeah, okay. That's good. That's probably one of our pain points at the moment. We've got a lot of properties that need work done to them. Yeah. So we're just implementing a charge for that now, and hopefully the charge will be, it'll allow people to go, you know what, we'll just do it ourselves to avoid pain, ideally, because that's just, a pain point for us, and taking that on, because it's very, very time consuming, and it's a crisis. Yeah. Year as well sometimes to trades in Perth, they're just expensive. I mean, it's not their fault, they're just expensive.
Yeah, they are. And then the time, there's the delay in it as well. Like, I got a couple of trades that I use that are really, really good and quick, and they'll kind of do a lot for me, which I'm thankful for. But if I have to go to anybody out of those couple, it just takes so much time. And like, I like to go to someone that it's not a kind of a one-stop shop probably isn't the way, but they've got a few different trades in there within their business that can do the whole kind of job. So if you wanted to do a bathroom, they've got people that can do the tiling, they can do the plumbing, they can do the shower screens, they can do all of that. So you go to the couple that are one-stop shop kind of people, they get you the quote, and then it's just easier doing it like that, I find, than getting a separate tiler, a separate painter, separate, you know, shower guy, personally.
Yeah, no, absolutely. All right, so we have gone from regular cold calling and letterbox drops, we have been fluid and moved with the times into the referral agent market. And obviously that goes without saying that is performing really well. That is our update with you. And I'm really excited because I think we should just make this like an annual thing, because it's really cool just to see how things change, make sure we're consistent with what we're doing as well. Like I said, last time we spoke, that was when I was like, I need to get on to doing letterbox drops. James is doing it. I'm not doing that. And I'm actually starting that next year. So it's taken me that long to get on board with letterbox drops. But I'm going to start doing it because we need to start looking for 6 months, you know, 6 months ahead. Yeah. How it's going to change, because like you can see it just from speaking to you, things change so much with our marketing style and all of that. We do have to stay very fluid to it. And I'm really excited and curious to see like what the next year is going to look like for the BDM role, how it's going to move, like what are we going to have to be doing next and connect to next to, you know, keep and maintain the level of management we're currently bringing in. And like whether that's sustainable or not sustainable is going to be really, really, really interesting, I think.
Yeah, definitely it is. It's going to be, I think it'll be an interesting ride and journey over the next year as we navigate through everything. I think it's, but I'm excited. It'll be good. It'll be good. Hopefully it's a cracking year.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I look forward to chatting to you again in a year's time with your progress and see how it's all going. And it's been a pleasure to have you on the podcast again. So well done. You're going very, very well with your BDM work. It's really great to watch you as well.
Thanks very much, Ashley. I do appreciate it. Pleasure talking to you.
Tap Plumbing and Gas covers all Perth areas from Mandurah to Toorox and has a team of plumbing, drainage and hot water experts. They have an amazing reputation for their excellent service and quality workmanship on time, every time, and it is easy to see why they are a favourite to many Perth property managers. Whether you just need some friendly advice or an obligation-free quote, look no further than OnTap Plumbing and Gas.